paging Brendan. Brendan to the podcast.
Hello, Alan.
The Not A Thing podcast, recording again on Thursday. We're recording a little late this week due to all sorts of crazy stuff, not the least of which is my wife, Julie, who has been on the podcast a number of times, had a little procedure at the hospital. Get well soon, Julie. In fact, after I finish recording this podcast, I will be helping her in the recovery process. So get well soon. Hopefully you'll listen to this and won't be so laid up and stuff.
Get well soon, Julie.
Yay. But the podcast don't stop as... well, I mean,
you just said.
Yeah. I don't think anyone says that, really.
No, you started it. It's a thing.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll take it. We're recording episode 131 today. Kind of a lot has happened. We're not going to talk about net neutrality because we talked about it all week.
Words.
All episode last time. So we're not going to talk about how they released all 400 pages this week. I haven't even looked at it. We have other things and not things that we have to get to, not the least of which is a Barbie doll that Mattel is releasing. They're releasing a version of Barbie called Hello Barbie, and what Barbie does is interact with its owner. They kind of talk. It has some voice recognition, so it can do, kind of answer with some canned phrases and talk back. There've been talk of things like it's a Siri style, integration, so it can recognize your voice and then respond in a reasonable way. But it will also, over time, kind of learn things and figure things out and be able to respond to you more specifically. Like, it'll learn the names of pets in the house or other people that are in the house. And the way that it does this is not by, when you interact with it, it will remember these things. It'll ask you the questions like, hey, what's the name of your dog? No, it'll just listen constantly and upload all of this data to Mattel's servers, which will parse it and then figure it out and send it back to the doll in order to respond in a normal way. And you might remember we've heard of other things like this. There's I believe it's a Samsung TV that is doing a similar thing. Amazon had their I believe it's the Echo service, which is a listening thing, and you can interact with it by just talking to it, and it's always listening, which means it's always trying to recognize your words, and more than likely it's recording all of your words. And that's the big deal with the Barbie as well. They even have a disclaimer in the release that they want it to comply with all kind of government standards, which I think is hilarious because the government, especially the NSA, hi NSA, is probably listening to this and would have the order to pull the things that Hello Barbie is listening to right away. So
Siri and Google Chrome had a baby that was not humanly proportioned with too much makeup. Your child has an imaginary friend that is actually creepily real.
The NSA is your child's imaginary friend.
Now your kid's going to narc on you. Congratulations. How to teach your kid to be a snitch.
And, the worst part is the kid doesn't even have to say it. I would think it would just listen to everything that's around. So this is, as you might guess, not a thing.
What would happen if, like, the Barbie started telling kids to kill their parents?
See, it doesn't even have to go that far. It just has to incriminate their parents. Or have the parents incriminate themselves,
I guess. They really wanted to make Chucky real.
It's getting close, right? All they need to do is pair this technology with DARPA, and I'm sure they'll have a thing that will, you know, have a series of really bad horror movies attached to it.
Chucky technology is not something we should be working towards. That is not an avenue that needs to be explored.
Well, an avenue that needs to be explored a little further is one this week about drones, specifically drone photography and videography. A lot of people will, and kind of rightfully so, hook cameras up to drones and fly them around and watch what they do. They're pretty impressive. I mean, you can do a lot with a drone that you wouldn't do with like an actual commercial aircraft or anything, or even of any large size, just because it would be probably way too dangerous and expensive if you ended up kind of crashing it. And the FAA is ruling kind of against this practice of flying drones with video, but not for the reasons you'd expect. Yes, the FAA has promised, as we've talked about on the show before, has promised to figure out some kind of rule framework about airspace and personal drone use and stuff. But one of the things that they had already ruled about was that they would not allow drones to be used in a commercial venture by until they've figured out all the rules for that. So that was blocking. You might remember that from when we were talking about Amazon. Amazon, I forget what they were calling it, but it was a drone-based delivery service. And the FAA ruling specifically said no on that one. But what they're doing is apparently cracking down, or someone is cracking down on behalf of the federal. Oh, what is the A? Aeronautics? No.
Aviation Administration?
Aviation. Okay, FAA. They're cracking down on one of the rules, specifically a drone videographer who puts his stuff up on YouTube, and they're getting mad at him not because he's putting stuff on YouTube or flying his drones, but because specifically it's on YouTube, which runs ads, and because they're ads, it's a commercial enterprise. And using a drone for commercial enterprises is still kind of in limbo for them, so they're telling him to take them off the off of YouTube. And I think calling YouTube a commercial enterprise might be stretching it.
Yeah, it's not like this guy was making a lot of money or any money.
Yeah, I don't know how many hits he was getting, or likes, or shares, or whatever the metric is, but I mean, yes, there is money to be made by ads and Google, but by all accounts, it looked like this guy was not making a whole lot of money. It was maybe, what was it? $2 was what the
Yeah,
quote
like a
said.
dollar.
Yeah, I mean. Which isn't to say that there's that, you know, this could be used in a different way. But yeah, I think commercial use of drones does need, you know, a fair amount of oversight and regulation. I don't know if putting them on YouTube for people to watch is necessarily enough to warrant like a commercial enterprise. I mean, although I will say that YouTube has been upping the number of ads that I end up seeing. It used to be that it was maybe one out of every, I would say like five, I would get an ad. Now it's pretty much every other video, if not a little more frequently than that. So they're warming up to the advertising models in internet TV. So you keep an eye out for that. Speaking of internet TV, a little bit, I'm gonna go a little bit off script here and talk about
What?
the HBO Now service that was announced this week. It's kind of a big deal. HBO is releasing what I guess is it equivalent to HBO Go? But there's
I believe
no,
it is.
there's just not an HBO channel service that you have to get. It's just their on-demand streaming video service. And it's going to be exclusive to Apple for 3 months, but that's going to open up probably immediately after that to Roku and a lot of the other kind of home providers of things.
Well, you can
And
still watch it through the web.
oh, yeah. Okay.
But as far as devices, it's Apple exclusive.
Yeah. But it's I think it's, you know, it's not the first shot in the untethering kind of setup and war. I think it is one of the bigger cannons to go off. I mean, I think we had talked about it before, like MLB.com, Major League Baseball. I think they had maybe one of the better streaming partnerships as soon as they could. They certainly had it first, and it was pretty well set up. But this is, I mean, the major reason that this is, I think, coming out is that this service will go live before the premiere of Game of Thrones, which I think for every year that it's been on has been like the highest or the most pirated TV show like ever.
Yeah.
HBO obviously wants a taste of that revenue. So we'll see how well that works. It'll be really interesting to see how that goes down. Although I think the pricing model for that is still it's almost equivalent to getting the channel. I want to say it's $14 a month.
Yes.
And if you got the channel, depending on, you know, how there's always discounts, and if you wrangle it around, it's I want to say it's maybe just a little cheaper than buying the channel. But
But you don't have to have cable as well.
right. So if you've already cut the cord, then it's the only way to get it. And good for them for making their content available. It will be great to see how that shakes out in the real world. But oh, and speaking of the real world, NASA is doing
Not the
some.
TV show.
Is that even still on?
I don't know. Probably. I don't know. Last time I watched MTV.
No. Well, I feel like the last time I watched MTV for real was they were still showing music videos on MTV.
When was
Yeah, that was a while ago.
that?
It was a really long time ago. But anyway, the real world of the world, the Earth, one of the interesting things this week is, I think it's tonight, actually. Their NASA is going to launch either the first one or they're launching all four of an array of satellites. It's called the Magnetospheric Multiscale, and I don't fully understand the naming convention on that, but in short, they're launching four satellites, each of which is, according to the article, the size of a small compact car, and they're going to orbit the Earth in order to map the magnetosphere, which is the magnetic waves that come out of the Earth and also kind of protect it from radiation and solar flares and all sorts of stuff like that. But not only are those four satellites going to orbit the Earth in, you know, in order to pick all that up, they're going to be orbiting as a in formation. They're going to fly around the Earth in a pyramid formation in order to pick up the magnetosphere in 3 dimensions and also pick it up over a number of orbits in order to map it, to kind of get it from different angles as the as different things like the motion of the Earth through the solar system plus the way the solar wind hits it and all sorts of stuff to kind of map how that works. They're doing this to kind of gain more understanding about how you know the magnetosphere works just for Earth, but then specifically to figure out a phenomenon they call popping, where when the solar wind hits the magnetosphere, it doesn't always get deflected. One of the major things when it does deflect is that's where you get the aurora borealis or the aurora australis in the southern hemisphere. But sometimes that radiation does actually breach the magnetosphere and get through, and they're trying to figure that out because that's what causes things like cell phone interference when there's a big solar flare and stuff like that. It's kind of fun stuff, and yay, NASA still launching stuff into space. Space is still a thing. It's not necessarily deep space exploration, but even local exploration of space and the other phenomena of space. Still a thing.
Any exploration is a thing.
Yeah, we like it. We like it. And we're gonna go from one kind of space to a different kind of space. The
It's
space.
all space.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's in a
Galaxy
galaxy
far,
far,
far
far
away.
away. Yes, we're talking about Star Wars. No, we haven't reached the spoiler part of the show yet. We are it's all kind of nebulously nebulous kind of in the distant news. Yeah. Sorry. Just news about Star Wars movies. We've already heard a little bit about Star Wars movies coming in. We already know there's a trilogy, a new trilogy coming. It's going to be the first one anyway, is going to be directed by J.J. Abrams. We got news about the second one, the eighth movie.
Episode 8.
Episode eight. It's going to be directed by Rian Johnson of
Yeah.
let's see, where is my brain gonna go? I'm gonna go with Looper on that one. Where are you
Oh,
going?
dang, I was gonna go with Looper. How about that little show Breaking Bad?
Yes. He directed the Fly episode.
And he also directed one of my favorite ones, Ozymandias.
Yes. So, his pedigree's good. I'm sure it's gonna be kind of a cool set of stuff. I mean, the imagery has always been great for Star Wars. We'll work on the character development and writing,
That's good hands to put it in, though.
yes, yeah, it's true. It's true. Rian Johnson, I've been very happy with. I
It's
was,
better than George Lucas at
yeah,
this point.
right. I was very happy with both of those episodes of Breaking Bad and Looper. I think on the whole was good. I think the ending of it kind of I wasn't so happy with, but
It had some issues, but it looked good. It was fun to watch. He's going to be the Irving Kirshner of this trilogy. I'm calling the shot now. Billy Dee's coming back, and it's going to be that they're going to mirror that dark turn.
This deal gets worse all the time.
Trilogy gets better all the time.
Well, it's not just the trilogy now, or sort of. I found out, I didn't even know this, that they're producing standalone Star Wars movies, live action Star Wars movies.
Yes.
I knew that they were going to do like a TV show. I guess that's a it's a cartoon. I thought it was going to be
Yeah,
live action.
it's animated.
Yeah.
The talk of the live action show was before it got sold to Disney.
Okay.
So
So
that all kind of changed.
the other thing about it, the live action movie that's coming up is they're announcing one that will actually, is it going to film next year or is it
No,
being
it's
released next
filming
year?
this year. It'll come out next Christmas time.
Okay.
So next December it should come out. They're calling it Rogue One,
Okay.
and Gareth Edwards is directing, which they just keep picking people I like.
Yeah, Gareth Edwards,
Monsters
you
and
might remember
Godzilla.
from Godzilla and was it Monsters?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we've talked about on the show. It's good. Very interesting, really Really good kind of emotion and use of special effects and kind of limiting your point of view quite a bit to kind of make sure it focuses on people and not necessarily, big things, which I think Star Wars really has a problem with sometimes. It's you're trying to do too many things with too many people and you muddy it up. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And I don't know what the is Rogue One referring to, like a pilot?
I don't, the plot hasn't been put out yet officially. There's a lot of rumors going around. But one thing that's not a rumor is Felicity Jones is going to be in it, who was just nominated for an Academy Award this year. So there's some between the directors and at least one actress, there's some pedigree that they're not bringing in nobodies. They're doing another standalone film with Josh Trank directing, which I'll judge that when I see Fantastic Four. He did Chronicle, which was fun, but I'm nervous about that Fantastic Four movie.
I don't think I
Actually,
want to
no, I would
see.
be nervous if I cared.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to see a Star Wars found footage style movie.
Oh, that would make me real mad. I mean, we already have a low bar with Star Wars. It's called the prequels. Like, you don't need.
But J.J. Abrams has that kind of low or handheld camera in space kind of thing going on a little bit.
Yeah, but that's like Battlestar.
Yeah.
I
Which
like
it
that.
works for, so you're right.
I can deal with lens flares. I can't deal with another found footage movie.
Oh, yeah. From Star Wars, we're gonna go over a little bit similar, like kind of the reverse of what J.J. Abrams did and talk about Star Trek or a Star Trek-like thing. This is one about a 3D printer. But not your everyday 3D printer that uses kind of extruded plastic or light sensitive liquids that solidify on light. So this is a 3D printer that works at the molecular level, which is pretty much what the Star Trek replicators do. So yay, that's a thing for sure.
Yes. And on a, I mean, yes, that's cool. That makes science fiction a reality. But this will actually be good for real science. Being able to synthesize chemicals that normally would take a long time to make and would require a lot of professional work by scientists, this will expedite that process, allowing us to develop new things faster,
Yeah.
which is potentially good.
Yeah. Hope so.
Potentially.
I'm sure someone will figure out a way to use it for evil, but until then, we have kind of good thoughts about it. It should be really cool. I mean, the whole 3D printing thing is definitely still a thing. The creating stuff on demand out of components has always been something reached for in science fiction, and making science fiction into science fact is always kind of an interesting and fun thing for us. But moving from kind of science fiction closer to science fact is kind of a redo of an interesting technology. There was a while ago, for those that remember floppy disks, which
Floppy
is,
what?
I realize, multiple levels beyond where we were just moments ago, like before USB and flash storage, there was optical disk storage, DVDs and CDs, and before that, there were floppy disks, which were magnetic storage, but it was kind of local, and there were disks that you could put into your computer, and there were essentially hardware viruses that would disable your floppy drive because it would cause things to break inside of it, and it was meant to be like kind of a technology disabling kind of thing. Well, that has been updated for USB drives. Someone put together a concept, a conceptual like laptop killer USB drive. And what it does is you stick it into your computer as if you're oh, I have some
Don't do it on your
files. Well,
computer.
no, not on yours,
Do it to someone else's computer.
right. You do
Someone you
that,
don't
and
like.
when they put the USB drive into their computer, instead of getting a bunch of data off of it, it causes the USB port to overload and fry electronically a bunch of stuff in your in that com the target computer. And it does this by USB drives, or rather USB drive or devices in general, usually have the ability to power things. That's how you charge like phones and whatever. There's almost always a like +5 volt or +10 volt pin on a USB drive. And so what someone did was they took the housing of what would be like a flash drive and put capacitors in it. So you stick it into a computer like you're gonna get some data out of it, and the capacitors all charge. And once it reaches each capacitor holds more voltage than it would normally flow inside of a laptop. And then once they're all charged, they discharge them rapidly and like fry the USB port. And hopefully, or at least according to these guys, it could do more damage beyond the USB port. Now, I think it is interesting, kind of technologically, but I think it's not that hard to defeat either. At least if that's all it's doing, you put one diode in front of the your USB port, and it should stop it. I mean, maybe I'm doing that. I only took electrical engineering for 4 of my 5 years, so I don't fully understand it.
That's four more than me.
I've probably picked the wrong device. I think a diode may not be the best example of a thing, but it does seem like the kind of thing that would probably do some hardware damage to a computer, although it would be pretty easy to tell whose it was because it's that still exists, right? It's not like it's not like it self-destructs. It doesn't wipe your fingerprints away. It doesn't
No, that's why you have to burn them off with acid before you use it. Not
Oh.
that I am recommending people do that, but it's an option. It is a thing.
Hopefully not too much of a thing. I feel like
Good luck using your iPhone 5 with the finger sensor once you've burned off your fingerprints.
Well, I mean, wouldn't that just make it really easy to use the sensor? Because you could use like your elbow or whatever.
If you if you didn't already have your settings on there, then you'd have to type in your password like an iPhone 4 user. Oh my
We have a
God.
an iPad mini from before the fingerprint sensor was made standard in those. And every time I pick it up, I hold the button and kind of stare blankly at it as it does nothing. And I go, "Oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah." And I swipe over and type my numbers in. I do like the fingerprint technology. I'm still a little wary of biometrics in general, as we've talked about on the show, but
I think we even made fun of that sensor when it came out, but I will say I use it every day and it is real handy.
So, are you going to get an Apple Watch?
No! I'm saving up for the $10,000 douchebag edition, that gold one.
That is pretty fantastic. I was kind of hoping that it would be like at least attainable, but no, they went full crazy on that one,
1% model.
really. I think they'll probably sell a few, especially in the Bay Area. I'm sure I probably even know like one or two people that would buy it. Hopefully not by name, but
Yeah, don't out people like that on the podcast.
yeah.
Tell me after so I can go and rob them. I
Well,
would
I
never
mean,
buy one of those. I'd steal one.
yeah. Oh, how do you like the what is it? The gold MacBook.
No, gold, nothing should be gold. This isn't an Austin Powers movie. This isn't a James Bond movie. No. Not a thing. Covering things in gold just to make them gold. No.
It does sound a little overdone, but I think
A little.
it's interesting the way they're positioning it, because it seems like they want people to buy the watch. They want people to The people they want to buy it are the people that have bought the iPhone 6 or the 6 Plus and just don't want to be hauling it in and out of their pocket because it's so flippin' big.
Those sneaky buggers.
So it's like, oh, it's too big to remove from my pocket, so I'm just gonna keep it wherever it is. Probably a purse or some like weird small of the back carry kind of thing. And then you end up
One of
using.
those travel wallets
Right.
that you like strap to yourself. I just pull out my passport and my iPhone 6.
I would think it would, well, when I was saying small of the back, I was thinking of the kind of body armor jackets that motorcyclists wear that kind of, protects their back from injury, so it just kind of fits.
Or
It's
like
just one of
Die
those
Hard.
plates in the
It's like John McClane, your iPhone, just tape it to your back. And every time you answer the phone, you have to say, Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
I should make that my ringtone. That
Make
should
that a thing. Dude,
be
someone do
the
that. I can't. I only have a 5S. I can't do that. But if you have a 6 or 6 Plus,
Yeah, only a
right,
5S.
Congressman.
But we're gonna be okay somehow.
Mine's, like a phone. It's small.
Yeah. Like it fit, it still fits in pretty much all of my pockets. Well, we have one more bit of interesting news this week, and kind of this sort of, I guess, is this spoiler territory about how this works?
No.
Not exactly.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It's an interesting thing that has happened. The As you may or may not know, the Cactus Leagues have started up, so the Major League Baseball teams have started playing in Arizona, as they are wont to do at this time of year. And what's interesting is, I think it has happened in the past that someone has played for two teams in the same day, but I think, or even in the same, but th so this happened where someone played for two teams in the same day. But actually in the same game, and it happened 5 times. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, Will Ferrell played for 10 baseball teams today, which
So
is great.
awesome. Really, really, really amazing. Just
If you're someone who doesn't usually check out the links on the website, you really should check out this link. It's pretty he's real funny.
yeah,
It
I'm
and everyone it was a great thing where all the teams played along and it was spread across all the social media and like video stuff was going up and people were tweeting and it all is just a fun day and it's for an HBO special that he's doing. It's like a conjunction between Funny or Die, HBO, and Major League Baseball, which is all supposedly somehow going to benefit cancer charities. And they're going to air a big special later this year that this was all filmed for. But seeing him in all the uniforms, he had this might be one of his best days ever, I would expect.
Yeah.
Feel like
Well,
he's having a good time.
he has, I mean, he normally has kind of a pretty good smile going on. I think every picture of him and every video that I saw, he has the biggest grin. And as you should, I mean, I think it's pretty awesome to play in any capacity for Major League Baseball, but to get to play for 10 different teams on the same day. They had a in the article they have a little thing about how far he had to drive to get to all of the games, and it ended up being like an hour and a half of driving in order to get to every game in that amount of time.
Yeah,
Pretty rad.
he played. Yeah, I mean, he played positions. He played catcher. He pitched. He got to hit. He got to do everything.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Will Ferrell, still a thing. He's a good dude. I don't
Yeah.
think he's actually on Twitter. I think every Twitter account that is him is a fake Twitter account. Which is okay. The only thing I don't like about those kinds of things is they will often misquote people or misattribute quotes to people, and I think that's just lame.
Raising money for cancer charities is a thing,
Yeah.
and having fun with baseball. I'm really excited for baseball to be back.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good. And seeing Will Ferrell in an A's uniform was pretty darn cool.
It's nice to see people in A's uniforms.
Yes. If you'd like to make a wager on how this year's going to go, Alan, I would be happy to see who's going to have a better record between the A's and the Giants.
I'm not gonna take that one. I still like watching, but I definitely don't advocate heavy sports betting. Or even what is it? Listener enforced bets.
Yeah, after the
Definitely a debacle. Definitely. Cool.
Deep cut. Those of you who've been listening for a long time will remember that.
We'll keep the hits coming for the Not a Thing podcast. We'll be recording again next week, hopefully on time, and again, net neutrality free, right?
Yeah, we won't be using the double N word.
Cool, man. Well, I
Or
will
the N
talk to
word for
you.
that matter. Neither of them. Single, double, they're out.
No. N-word is not a thing. No.
Except for the not and not a thing.
Right.
That is okay. Until N word? No, I can't say next. I can say next. Until next time, Alan.
N-word time sounds really, really, really
That
bad.
sounds really bad. We should cut that. Don't cut it. We don't edit.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you later, Brendan.